Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today as we meet together coast to coast around the radio here in the United States and all the way around the world on this free God Is podcast. As we get going in a brand new week of broadcasting and podcasting, I want to pray for us, then remind you of something, then get right back into the book of Job. If you'd like, please join me in prayer. Father, thank you that this is the day you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Create in us thankful hearts. Give us words of thanks and praise for you in our prayers. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for saving us from our sins through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Thank you for such abundant love, mercy, and grace. Help us to be thankful for you always in the good times and the bad. Forgive us for our whining and moaning and complaining, and supplant all of that with genuine thanksgiving for you. Pray that you will draw us into praise with the angels around your throne in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty. Revelation 4:8. I pray we will praise you like they do. Be with us this week. Teach us. Instruct us in the way we should go and give us the courage to follow you where you lead, trusting in you always and forsaking our selfish and prideful ways. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, God is worthy of our thanksgiving and praise, isn't he? I hope that we will have hearts overflowing with gratitude to our great God. And at the start of this week, what do I want to remind you of? It's the new God Is Ministry website, of course. Have you visited it yet? All you have to do is go online and punch in www.godisministry.org into your web browser. Up comes the site. There's a lot there for you to discover, but the key is the God Is podcast sitting right in the center of the homepage. You can listen to God Is 24/7 whenever you want, and invite friends to join you by sending them a link to the website. You'll find all of the podcasts there for God Is, and also for my other radio ministry, Definition. Click on the links for Facebook and Instagram. Once there, like our pages and follow us. And subscribe to the podcast. Get it downloaded automatically straight to your phone for easy listening whenever you have time. Listen to the podcast in the car, on the bus or train, on the airplane, while you make dinner or after the kids are in bed. Listen to the podcast as you go to bed. Any questions? Email me at mark@godisministry.org or write God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. And these addresses will be repeated soon. It is my prayer and my desire that you check out this brand new website today, tonight, and that you will share this also with others. Now let's return to the book of Job, and let's again take our seats at the theater, shall we? When we left off on Friday, we had come to the end of Act 2, Scene 5. Eliphaz spoke, and Job responded. If you have asked for and received my outline, you can follow that along with me now. I have proposed to you that the book of Job, massive in length and depth of content, can be outlined into three major acts. It begins with a prologue, then Act 1, Heaven and Earth. That first act only has four scenes, as we discussed. We watched that act played out before us with great interest, up on the stage of our imaginations. Then we come to Act 2, which is long. It covers Job chapters 2, verse 11, through Job chapter 37. I have divided this into 10 scenes. All of them take place on earth, and so far we have covered Act 2, scenes 1 through 5. Later, Lord willing, we will get to Act 3, which has two scenes. That will cover Job chapters 38 to 42, again, partly in heaven and partly on earth. I hope that you will join me at the stage theater each day and night as we continue to keep our eyes and ears on God, who is the main character, and on the other characters in this real-life drama. I believe Job really lived this life, and Christians will one day fellowship with Job in heaven. Until that day, let's apply what he learned about God to our lives here and now. The book of Job has much to teach all of us. And look, the curtain opens again on Act 2, Scene 6. We come to Job chapters 18 and 19, which is Scene 6 of Act 2. This is Bildad's second time to speak and second time for old Job to respond to him. This is Bildad, the historian, with nothing new to say. In chapter 18, verses 6 through 12, I will take time to read this. Bildad moves to center stage and lets out a bold monologue, which shines the light on his oratorical skills. He is vying for the Best Actor Award. Earlier, we thought Eliphaz deserved it, but now Bildad speaks. Listen to this so you get a flavor for how dramatic Bildad is. Bildad speaks of Job's discontent. I'm reading now the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 18, verses 6 through 12. Job 18, verses 6 through 12. The light in his tent is darkened, and his lamp goes out above him. His vigorous stride is shortened, and his own scheme brings him down. For he is thrown into the net by his own feet. He steps on the webbing. A snare seizes him by the heel, and a trap snaps shut on him. A noose for him is hidden in the ground, and a trap for him on the path. All around, terrors frighten him and harry him at every step. His strength is famished, and calamity is ready at his side. And such a dramatic description of what has happened to Job, Bildad. You delivered these lines with eloquence and fervor. I'd say you and Eliphaz will get a standing ovation from this audience when you take your bows at the end. But as you listen, and when you read this for yourself, Job chapter 18, verses 6 through 12, you will see that same old theme. The reason Job is in such agony is because he just must have secret sin in his life. Here we go again. Job's friends just keep pounding him with their same conclusion. This is nothing new from Bildad. And then Bildad gets mean. Just plain mean. I'm sorry to have to share this with you on a Monday, but we follow the text, and here is a vicious statement made from one friend to another. This is Bildad speaking to Job. Listen to Job 18, verses 19 and 20. Job 18, verses 19 and 20. He has no offspring or posterity among his people, nor any survivor where he sojourned. Those in the west are appalled at his fate, and those in the east are seized with horror. Bildad proclaims that all Job's children are dead, and that all the people of the world look at Job in horror. He mocks Job's trouble. What a poor, pathetic mess you are, Job, and everybody knows it. Everyone is talking about you, Job. Social media is buzzing. Someone snapped some photos of you on the garbage dump, and it went viral on Instagram and Facebook. In an attempt to score some points in this debate among friends, Bildad goes low. He goes very, very low. And if you have been a Christian very long, then you know that when believers get mean, it is often some of the nastiest words you will ever hear one say to another. In debates and disputes among so-called friends and even brothers and sisters in Christ, very hurtful things are said. A church's annual general meeting, the AGM, can be a battleground. Well, Bildad took his mean pills, and he takes quite a dig at Job. We should be careful about what we say when we are in a heated discussion with our friends, dear Christians. In every church in which I have ever served, both in the United States and Hong Kong, there have always been those people who are mean towards others. This is more than just sad. This is behavior that requires repentance. If someone is a genuine Christian, then that person is responsible to speak to others and about others in ways that build up the other person. Tearing one another down is sin against God. This displeases the Lord. Within his church, he commands that we love one another and serve one another and put others ahead of ourselves. Can we have debate? Yes. Can we have heated, passionate disagreement? Oh, yes. But it is how we use our words that matter. We ought not be a mirror reflection of the world. No. By the grace and power of God, we must deal with each other very differently than people deal with one another in the world. If you've been feeling convicted by how you have spoken to your fellow Christians, then I pray right now you will repent of that sin. I ask that you consider contacting the people you have hurt with your words and ask them to forgive you. Begin again, afresh and anew, with one another. I believe if we will do this, we can strengthen our churches. Who knows, maybe even save some churches. Let's be quick to seek forgiveness when we use our words to damage someone else in the midst of a heated debate or discussion. And let me just add that if you are a Christian who has been pained by what another Christian has said to you or about you behind your back, I understand how you feel. This stings, and it is easy to leave the church, to grow bitter, and to have unresolved anger boiling just beneath the surface. My friend, this is not good for you. By way of analogy, I'll tell you what will happen sooner or later. Go over to your refrigerator, pull out a bottle of soda or sparkling water. Shake it as hard as you can for a few moments, then turn it upside down, backwards and forwards. Then, open it. Kaboom! You'll be wearing it, and the sticky soda and water will be all over your floor and walls. That's what happens with bitter anger. Eventually, it explodes. You will blow up, and everyone else will be hurt by you. Think critically about how you may have hurt someone with your words, and think about what to do with your bitterness and anger if you have been hurt. Then join me again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.